Well, good morning, church family. Welcome to worship this morning. I hope you're having a great day, a great morning. As we begin our time of worship, yes, you may go ahead and stand. As we begin our time of worship today, there's no doubt about it. We're here to focus our heart, focus our minds, and to give the Lord God our attention and bring our worship to Him. But can I remind you this morning that as you worship and give expression to your worship, you're also encouraging those standing and seated around you. So worship not only blesses the Lord, but it blesses one another as we engage our hearts and we sing to the Lord. So I want to invite you this morning to step in and to enjoy God's presence because He is here today. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Would you sing it together? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, time to worship. Let's bring our praise, our expressive praise to Him today. And let's declare what we believe in this place.
I believe there is one salvation, one doorway that leads to life, one redemption, one confession. I believe in the name of Jesus Christ.
Come on, sing it loud. I believe.
I believe in the crucifixion. By His blood I have been set free. I believe in the resurrection. Hallelujah, His life is destiny.
Raise your praise.
All praise to God the Father. All praise to Christ the Son. All praise to the Holy Spirit. Our God has overcome. The King who was and is and evermore will be. In Jesus' mighty name, I believe.
I believe, yes I do. Come on, let me hear you sing this. I believe.
I believe in the hope of heaven. He's preparing a place for me, far beyond what hearts imagined, ears have heard, or eyes have seen. I believe that day is coming. He's returning to claim His bride. Light the altar, keep it burning. See the Lamb who rules the roaring. Praise to God the Father. All praise to Christ the Son. All praise to the Holy Spirit. Our God has overcome. The King who was and is and evermore will be. In Jesus' mighty name, I believe. No one ever be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How could I ever walk away from the one who saved my life?
Come on, let's declare it. No.
No, I'll never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
together this morning, church. We believe. We believe in Jesus.
Amen. Well, good morning, church. Well, before you sit down, find somebody nearby, you give them a knuckle bump and tell them welcome to worship at Prestonwood. All right, you may be seated. Some of you look awkward with the knuckle bump, guys. We got to figure that one out, all right? Well, again, good morning. And if we have never been introduced, my name is Connor Bales. It's my joy to serve as the pastor here at the North Campus of our church. And on behalf of our entire church family, I just want to welcome you, especially our guests that are with us this morning. We are delighted to have you here in worship. There's a couple of ways that we would love the opportunity to connect with you. The first is you can just text us the word connect, put that in the subject line, and send it to the number 55125. You can do that here if you're in the room. Certainly those who are watching online, we welcome you as well. You are part of our family of faith here today. So you can just text us the word connect, and that'll prompt us to be able to follow up with you and hopefully help you connect with our church. Also, when we're dismissed a little later this morning, myself along with other staff members will be out in the middle of the atrium at Guest Central, and we would love an opportunity to be able to introduce ourselves to you personally and get to know a little bit about your story, maybe what brought you here, and hopefully help you and your family plug in and connect with the life and ministry of our church. Let me brag on you for a second, church. One of the things I'm so excited to be able to share with you today is that maybe you'll remember a few weeks ago, I think it maybe 6 weeks ago or something like that, we took a moment in one of our services to highlight a ministry partner from Guidestone Resources known as Mission Dignity. Mission Dignity is a ministry that provides financial resourcing to retired pastors and their widows that because of their life and ministry calling might not have otherwise been able to prepare to retire with dignity. And so we always feature this ministry as something that's near and dear to my heart and the heart of our pastor and our church. And so we took time out of our service to highlight that. One of our North Campus members, Aaron Mraz, and his team actually lead the Mission Dignity effort for Guidestone. And I'm delighted to hear that the North Campus has responded in great abundance. So thank you for your generosity. God is moving, and Aaron wanted us to know that we have responded with an overwhelming evidence of support for that great ministry. And it's just a part of the family that is Guidestone Resources. Guidestone is a part of our Southern Baptist Convention, and my friend Mark Dance is going to be speaking to us this morning. And Mark works for Guidestone. Mark has been a pastor for more than 30 years, and he and his wife Janet are dear friends to Mary and me. But really, God has a calling and unique gifting for Mark to pastor pastors. He has a heart's desire to make sure that pastors finish well. And I think all of us would agree that that is so necessary and important for the kingdom and for God's church. And Mark has pastored me. He has been such a good, dear friend to me. He's the director of pastoral wellness for Guidestone. He, along with Aaron, they partner shoulder to shoulder, working to help churches and their ministry staff be able to fulfill the calling upon their lives and help to advance the ministry and the mission of God's church. So you are going to be so blessed as Mark concludes our Training Ground sermon series and speaks to us on the subject of Sabbath. You know, Sabbath is a misunderstood subject within the modern church because we think Sabbath must mean something tied to Old Testament covenant or something that's no longer necessary for God's people today. But really, Sabbath is all about rest and resting in God. And in a culture that celebrates busyness, and in particular in a season when we're all heading into some of the busiest times of our life and family, this is a timely word for you and for me. So I know you're going to be delighted to hear from my friend Mark. I want to put on your schedule, just by way of reminder, that next Sunday serves as Promotion Sunday for us. So if you're not familiar with what that just means that your children that are in age-graded ministries next Sunday will be promoted to their accelerating grade. So if they were in third grade all of last year, then they will move into the fourth grade class next Sunday. And so we are excited to celebrate with all of our kiddos as they continue to progress and grow in God. And one of the things I want to remind you of, parents, is that we have changed a policy effective next Sunday for the purposes of trying to provide the greatest care and safety for our kids. And so if, from this point forward, if you have a fifth grade student or younger, we are asking that you would go and pick up your student from their classroom. And I hope that parents, even though this is a small change in some of our policy from what we have done in the past, you would hear our heart in this, that we are trying our very best to make necessary changes to always provide for the maximum safety and security of our kids. So if you have a child that is in the fifth grade and younger, starting next Sunday, we're just asking parents to go help us by picking your child up from their class. Also want to encourage you, in 2 weeks, starting on the 18th, we'll start our midweek activities here at the church, 5 o'clock, Christian Chicken, sponsored by Chick-fil-A. And then, of course, all of our midweek discipleship programming will begin at 6:30. And so that's a great time for us as a church to continue to grow in our relationship with God. But I know for the Bales family, this is a very, very, very busy time of year. I am a super blessed dad. I have 5 amazing kids, all of them in school in one way or another. And so as we head back into our school year, and as we prepare to start what is likely going to be the busiest season of our life and family, I know that that's the same for many of you as well. And this is true for parents, this is true for families, this is true for grandparents, and certainly for our students as well. But oftentimes the unsung heroes of the school year are the teachers and the coaches and the faculty and the staff that are sacrificially pouring themselves out for the good of the next generation that they serve. And so this morning, as we prepare to receive our offering and as we take time in our service to pray and beg God's presence here, I just want to take a moment to ask all of those that serve in education in any way. I'm asking every coach, every teacher, every faculty member, every administrative assistant, every facilities director, if you serve in our educational system in any way at all, would you please stand? Because our church wants to celebrate you, and then I want to pray over you as we start the school year. All of our education faculty, would you please stand? If you'll remain standing for just a moment. Let me just say, as a dad, because I know that what you do is often thankless, so before your year begins, let me just say this: thank you. On behalf of every child and every family that you're going to serve and every life that God is entrusting for you to touch, I just want to say thank you. What you do matters. You're making a difference. And listen, because you walk with God, your difference will last for eternity. And so I just am going to pray now for God's blessing and protection over you and the life that He has entrusted to you and all of those that He is providing in your care. What you do matters. And we are so grateful for your willingness to sacrifice and to serve. So let me just pray. Father, in Jesus' name, now as we prepare to receive this offering, God, and as we continue to worship you, lifting up our voices in praise, we want to pause in our service right now, God, and we want to beg your power and your protection and your provision for all of those that are serving in education. God, we thank you for all of our great public schools, public educators that are around us. God, we thank you for the private Christian schools that are nearby. God, I just pray for a supernatural measure of blessing and protection. God, I bind Satan in Jesus' name, that he would have no room to create chaos or cause confusion in our classrooms. God, I pray that these teachers and educators would feel nothing less than your supernatural power surging through them as they invest in the generation that is before them. And God, we just say thank you. Thank you that they have laid their yes on your altar to be used mightily by you to effect eternal change. And so, God, I pray for all of the students that are entrusted to their care. I pray for the moms and the dads and the grandparents and the caregivers and the providers that are partnering with our schools to help this next generation flourish and thrive. God, we believe that the academics are important, but we also know that we are creating well-rounded individuals that want to be good contributing members of society, that we pray would follow you and make a difference for all of eternity in a way that will matter a million years from now. So God, just empower these teachers. We thank you for their life, their gifts, and their calling. And we pray a supernatural blessing upon them in the name that is above every name, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. As the ushers come, would you stand? Let's lift our voices in song.
calling on the God of Jacob, whose love endures through generations. I know that you will keep your covenant. I'm calling on the God of Moses, the one who opened up the ocean. I need you now to do the same thing for me. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness, on your faithfulness. Rest upon the glory. I know with you all things are possible. Yes, they are. I'm calling on the God of David, who made a shepherd boy courageous. I may not face Goliath, but I've got my own giants. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now.
Sing it out to him.
Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness, on your faithfulness. Children, you are the same God. You are the same God. You answered prayers back then, and you will answer now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You were providing then. You are providing now. You are the
You are the same God. Oh God, my God,
He's got us. So good. Praise the Lord. You may be seated.
Good morning. That's some good walk-up music. I asked for Barracuda from heart, but they didn't even pray about it. So, well, it's good to be home. This is our home. Janet and I, members here for the last couple of years, and this is the worship service we go to after our life group. I do pastors, so they're all over the country. But when I'm home, this is home for us. We're going to be in Exodus 20. If you want to head that direction, I appreciate Dr. Bell's asking me the privilege to preach here, my home church, and be a part of this series called Training Ground. One of the disciplines that they identified, Dr. Graham and Bales, is Sabbath, and they asked me to speak on that, which I'm more than happy to do. About 15 years ago, I was in the gym in Conway, Arkansas, where I was pastoring a church. I pastored churches for about almost 30 years before I started pastoring pastors. And I was working out by myself, and I don't lift huge weights. You probably figured that out. But I just trying to grow old as gracefully as I can. And I was bench pressing by myself, and I thought, you may have been there, I thought I had one more left. You know, I had one more rep. And I kind of did. I got it up one more time. Now, this has never happened before or since, but I had expended all my strength to the point that I could not actually control where it came down. So I slowed it down, but instead of resting on my chest where I could ask for help or flipping off plates, instead it rested right on my throat. It cut off my breathing and ability to call out for help, and I quite honestly was helpless and powerless. I'd overestimated my own strength. There were only two other people in the gym. They were in the far corner talking to themselves. One of those guys was a member of our college ministry, and he weighed almost 140 pounds. He's a marathon runner, and I'll never forget seeing that guy run to my aid. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw him bolt. And that little guy just picked that thing off my throat and literally saved my neck. This may sound like an exaggeration, but I believe what we're about to talk about from Exodus 20, back throughout all of Scripture, might just save your neck. It might be that you don't know you need saving. But you might be on a trajectory where you've overestimated your own strength and ability. And today, God's going to remind you the limits that He gave us in this beautiful gift called Sabbath that we're going to read about. It's the fourth commandment. So you've likely heard about it before. But just in case, Exodus 20, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You're to labor 6 days and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You must not do any work, you or your son or daughter, your male or female servant, your livestock, resident alien who's within your city gates. For the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them in 6 days. Then he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and declared it holy. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this series on spiritual disciplines. I pray that today this place would be a grace zone and not a guilt zone. That you'd call us back to your word and that we would listen and obey and give you glory for anything that happens today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I do appreciate not only Dr. Bales, but you. I want to say on behalf of God's Own, thank you. For those who've given towards these pastors you'll never meet, there's 3,000 pastors and widows on this list that have to live at or below poverty level to get assistance. And last year, people like you gave about $11 million to help them just pay their bills. But Aaron Mraz is usually at the 8:30 and was today I want you to see him, because we are like the Aaron and Hur of Guidestone. He's obviously the Aaron, and so I'm stuck with the Hur, but, you know, somebody had to. But Aaron, would you stand up and give everybody a wave right there? Aaron Mraz, Dr. Mraz, thank you for being here. You know, Connor's kind of competitive, and so I just told him this morning, I don't think he knew this, but of all the churches, almost 50,000 Southern Baptist churches, plus other churches that do this, that you're number two. This campus is the number two most generous church for Mission Dignity, and number one Sagemont in Houston. So, you know, if he wants to pull ahead, you got to... So today, as we revisit this old school solution to busyness, barrenness, and burnout, I want to give you four reasons to take Sabbath seriously. Four reasons. You can take notes if you want to. There's only going to be four words to remember. But here's the first reason. Sabbath is a command to obey. Sabbath's a command to obey. Now, Sabbath only means one thing. It means stop. Doesn't mean slow down. Doesn't mean seven, like the seventh day. It is literally means stop. It was first mentioned in Genesis chapter 2. As God modeled the Sabbath, he worked 6 days, created, then he stopped to model it for us. But this is a crystal clear cease and desist order that you don't have to pray about. One less thing to pray about. Isn't that great? In fact, you can say that about all 10 of the commandments. You have to pray about when you're on the tollway and somebody cuts you off, should I murder them or not? You know? It's just like, just don't. It's all good. And so any of the 10, and this one actually has more commentary on it, more words than any of the other commands, but it's one that gets often overlooked. So when there's a command, and it isn't the commandment, is one that was mentioned again in the New Testament, mentioned by Jesus. In fact, Jesus was criticized more times about this subject than any other subject. 6 times they came after him, trying to trick him, trying to trap him about doing it wrong. I'm not here to talk about doing it right or doing it wrong, just doing it. More important than the how is the why. But it is a command. And some of you in a situation go, well, if you knew my situation, and think you're an exception to the rule. And it's harder for some than others. If you've got preschoolers at home, you can't Sabbath like I can Sabbath. I'm empty nest. I have adult kids, right? You're homeschooling. Maybe there's all kinds of situations, and there's seasons where you're going to have to, you know, have a different pace. But if you have an unsustainable pace all the time, then you have a problem. And God's here to remind you that this is a command. My personal interest in Sabbath came from a painful experience, actually, in repeatedly ignoring it as a pastor. For the first 20 years of pastoring churches, about go, 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 and grow, grow, grow. And in the excitement of church growth, I kind of started neglecting myself. And there's a big difference between denying yourself and neglecting yourself. And it's important that we know the difference, because self-care is strategic. It's not selfish. God wants us to not just fall across the finish line, but accelerate through it. And I was blindly racing down the road to burnout without a clue as to where the exit ramp really was, justifying it all the time, justifying, like, you know, CPAs have a sprint season. They have to, you know, go to it. Athletes have to go to it for a season. But then they have an off season. After that, right? A rest and recovery. And I hadn't had one for a long time. In fact, we were in the middle of a relocation of a campus from downtown 5 acres to 50 acres. And I was casting vision, doing stuff, getting stuff done. And I just stopped stopping. That was 15 years ago. My season, I turned in, which is not uncommon for people to experience burnout. Likely you will. But if burnout is ignored like what I did, when I ran out of gas, I did what a lot of driven people do. I just pushed the gas pedal harder. And my burnout turned into a three-year season of clinical depression. I was diagnosed by my doctor and a therapist, both members of my church, in the same week, and they never met each other. So I got help. And one of the things my doctor said is you're going to have to change your lifestyle. Basically, just obey the fourth commandment. I'd let the work of God around me kill the work of God within me. And then there were no scandalous train wrecks or moral meltdowns, but the fact is it was preventable. And whether you're a workaholic, a churchaholic, a momaholic, or whatever, we just know that God's created us with limits. And this isn't just, these limits aren't just for some people. This command is for everybody. And so for those who think, well, you know, I love my job, so I don't need to stop because I love my job. Does anybody know who first said, you probably heard this, if you love your job, you never work a day of your life? Anybody know who said that first? Yeah, I don't either. I mean, I looked it up, and they'll say Mark Twain or Abraham Lincoln, which means they don't know. Most of them say Confucius, though. Most of them say Confucius first said, if you love your job, you never work a day in your life. So Confucius lived 3,500 years ago. I don't know if he said it or not, but if Confucius, first one he said it, I can tell you right now, Confucius was confused. Or he never had a job, because there is no job that's fun every day, right? But if you love your job like I do, then sometimes you need to be reminded of limits. Fact is, God imposed on us all these limits. Limits, we all slept last night, because God created us to be awake and then to be asleep and then to eat. You know, it's not like you got a different set of DNA. You know, I hear people say, well, I only need 4 hours of sleep a night. Like, that's not true. You didn't get that from your doctor, right? You didn't get a different set of DNA that I got. You're going to need 6 to 8 hours. The fact is, we all need to stop. First reason is because it's a command. Second reason is because it's a gift to enjoy. It's a gift to enjoy. Now, you think that the first people to receive this gift of Sabbath would be so excited about it, like you are. It's like, you kidding me? These couple million freshly emancipated slaves never got a day off, much less a gift. And God says, okay, I want you to work. You can work up to 6 days, but then I want you to stop. I don't want you to do anything. In fact, I'm going to double up on the manna while you're in the desert so that you don't have to prepare. So I'm giving you this. And you'd think they would just say, thank you, thank you, thank you. But instead, they were like, you know, Egypt wasn't that bad. And some of you right now may be agreeing with every word I said, but then tomorrow, Egypt's not that bad. But what God wanted to remind us of is that we're sons and daughters of God, not slaves. Our identity didn't have to be overly tied into our job, our work, or other people. But he set us free. And he says in Isaiah 58:13, I love it, the word delight is mentioned twice here as he describes the Sabbath. Isaiah 58:13, if you keep from desecrating the Sabbath, from doing whatever you want, on my holy day, if you call Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, seeking your own pleasure, or, this one's going to hurt, talking business, then your delight will be in the Lord. I'm not up here someone who's arrived. I'll be honest with you. Like many of you, I have a bias towards action. And I don't want to stop every week. It's hard sometimes. And it's really hard to stop talking business. My business is church business. This is not my day off, by the way. It's not the day off for any of your pastors, any ministry leaders. And your day off may be different from somebody else's day off. You know, the Apostle Paul told him, quit arguing about when the Sabbath is, right? The fact is, for each of you, it might be different. And we need some people to work on Sundays, right? We need medical people. We need a lot of people. We need our security people. We need our worship people. But the fact is, this is not you going to timeout. This is a gift from God saying, I love you. This is a sign of the covenant. I'm making you stop because you need to stop And because you need to trust me that your whole business, job, family, whatever, that depends on you all the time, that there's going to be some time here where you depend fully on me to take care of them. Because I'm Lord of the universe. I'm sovereign. I'm large and in charge. And guess what? You're not. So I'm commanding you to observe the Sabbath. And I'm gifting you with this Sabbath stop. Jesus said in Mark 2:27 that Sabbath was made, why? For us. Sabbath made for man, not the other way around. The people got confused. They were serving the Sabbath. Sabbath was made for us, not man for the Sabbath. Psalm 127, verse 2, said, "It is vain for you to rise up early, to stay up late, working hard to have enough food. Yes, he gives his sleep. He gives sleep to the one he loves." So sleep is a gift, right? It is a gift that... Now, for those who rise up early, how many early people we've got? Early people. I'm the early. All right. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing admirable about it either, because there's nothing wrong with being a night person. How many of you are the night people? Yeah, okay. About half and half. Isn't that interesting how God pairs us up? You know, like I'm the morning person. Janet, my wife, is the night person. Why didn't he like make us both morning people? I don't know. I've got a lot of questions when I get to heaven. Why does she eat smooth peanut butter? I don't understand that at all. You know, there's just, you know, God's been craving you. There's always, in every couple, there's a saver and a spender. And, you know, there's the needy one and there's the non-needy one. And if you're not sure which one you are, you're the needy one. But here's what God's saying. He says, it's what's vain for you is doing both. Rising up early and staying up late. Neglecting yourself so that you'll have enough food to eat. You're worrying, you're striving, you're not trusting me to give you your daily bread. And he says, I want you to trust me. Because this is a gift for you to enjoy. It's a command to obey. Third thing is, it's a plan. So if you keep it up, three words, command, gift, and plan. So this plan's not just a good plan. It's not just a time management plan. This is a God plan. This is a master plan. This works. Genesis 2 is where it started. The heavens and the earth and everything in them were completed. And on the seventh day, God had completed the work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he'd done. And God blessed the seventh day, declared it holy, for on it he rested from all his work of creation. So Sabbath isn't just meant to slow us down. It's not just a call to inaction. Actually, if you look at the Sabbath command, it's a call to action. First of all, if you're not working, you're not eating. That's what Apostle Paul said. If you don't work, told the Thessalonians, if you don't work, you don't eat. So if there's anybody listening online or here, that you know what? Your problem's not stopping. Your problem's starting. All right? Let me tell you, work. You don't have to work 6 days. You can work up to 6 days. Just don't work more than that. Well, at the same time, you need to work. Whether you get paid or not, your contribution to community, to your church, to your family is important. Work is not punishment. It is a gift as well as rest. And we see Jesus working this plan out in his own life, not trying to balance. You know, you hear about the work-life balance. Forget that. Nobody stays balanced very long. Try it. See how long I can do this. No, let's not see how long I can do that. Because it's not going to be very long. But rhythm is possible. Because Jesus would, sometimes he'd heal one more person. He'd feed one more person. He'd teach one more thing. He'd linger when others were ready to go. But other times, he'd leave. Go to the mountains. Go to the lake. Go to the desert. It's just a series of sprints and recoveries that became the rhythm of his life. And that's what he's teaching us to do. One time he was asleep in the boat after a very tough season of ministry, and the storm came and it freaked out all the apostles. And they're like, he doesn't care about us. And they panic and they wake him up and he calms the storm. Basically, he said, what's going on? Why was Jesus asleep in the boat? You have to think hard about it. It's because he was tired, right? Sometimes what you need to do when you're not sure what to do is just stop. Sometimes it might be it's 2 o'clock in the middle of the afternoon and your brain is completely given out. Your body's talking to you. It's telling you to stop. I remember watching the Mavericks when they won the championships last time, and I watched an interview that Jason Kidd had when they asked him, because he was the oldest guy on the team, but he was the leader of the team, but on the court. They said, at your age do you sustain this pace? And he never hesitated. He said, I take a nap every day. I'm like, I'm writing that down. Hey, you know what? After third service, I'm going to go home and eat something. Eating something, I'm taking a nap. Every time I can, I'm going to take a nap. Hey, that's a beautiful thing about 59 years of age. I could take a nap. I don't feel bad about it at all. Jesus did. So how do you keep the Sabbath holy, sacred, even fresh? Here's a couple of tips. One, plan ahead. If you're married, plan ahead. Ahead with your spouse. I've kind of got a committee that helps me stay sane. It's Jesus and Janet. My first love, my second love. That's my king, that's my queen. And honestly, I need both of their help. I'm still struggling with this. Last year, at the end of the calendar year, I wrote out the commitments I'd made, just looking back on the year. I was doing an end of the year report, and I realized something important. I had said yes too many times in 2023. I had spoken 60 times in 40 events, and my body, my brain, and all of it, I wasn't shutting down. Like, I wasn't going back to the life of slavery that I was at 20 years ago, 15 years ago. But it was a warning light. And I came to Janet. First, I confessed it to sin as Jesus, because I love doing what I do. I mean, these were for pastors and for ministry couples, and I love what I do, but I'd said yes too many times, and I just need to take the cape off and say, you know what? I know that's about a dozen too many, and next year I want to do different. So speaking that out loud to Janet then was, would you help me with my calendar? So now before I say yes to something, I come to her, and I make sure that somebody in your life, whether you're single or married, has the ability and the freedom to grab your collar when you're about to jump off a cliff. By the way, your pastor has given me that permission. And that's what makes him a great pastor, because he's not just a good talker, he's a good listener as well. So plan ahead. Let your spouse be your spotter. You know, behind that weight bench, it had a big sign. Do not attempt to lift free weights alone. Yeah. Guilty. I ignored that sign, didn't I? So find your spotter, your best spotter if you're married, your spouse, the one that's been elbowing you for the last 20 minutes. Here's another one. Place boundaries around your job and life. We all need boundaries because people have access to us through so many ways. We need to put boundaries. For me, how that works is when I'm on vacation or at night, after dinner, I'll turn my phone to airplane mode. Now, some of y'all puckered up right there. Like, oh no, what if they need me? What if there's an emergency? What if there's an emergency? Well, here's how I deal with it, all right? You find your own hacks. I'm just sharing what works for me. I've given the people in my family and in my ministry access to my wife's cell phone number in case there's a real emergency. Because I found out a long time ago, Connor, that church members weren't the best at defining what a real emergency is. And honestly, it's nobody's job to manage my life and my calendar but me. So I just turn it off. And if their real emergency happens, they're going to contact Janet, which means they're going to think about it once, two, maybe three times before they actually do it. Go, you know, I think we've got this, right? But if there's a real emergency, there you go. Create boundaries around your life and your job. Make it happen. Don't just, hey, we ought to do this next year. Hey, it's fall's coming. This is a great time to do this. Make it happen instead of making excuses. David Clark, software engineer, said, 20 years from now, the only people who will remember that you worked late are your kids. Wow. Say no to negotiables, which will give you opportunity to say yes to things more strategic. There was a study that Lifeway Research did a few years ago for the Simple Life study, found that half of Americans want to slow down, but said they don't know how. 13% agreed strongly that their families have enough relaxing times together. Only 13% said that. They have enough relaxing times together. 4 out of 10 said they're on an emotional edge because of their schedules. Nearly half of the respondents said they'll probably have health problems if they continue at their current pace. 7 out of 10 surveyed said they would change their daily routine if they could. Well, here's some good news. You can. In fact, maybe you should. At least pray about it. Ask God, am I obeying your command? Am I receiving your gift? Am I working your plan, or am I doing my own plan? One of the best quotes I heard this summer at the Southern Baptist Convention was Jack Graham said, resilience is perseverance with a purpose. Resilience is perseverance with a purpose. You not only want to start well and stay well, but you want to finish well. And to do that, you're going to have a sustainable sabbatical pace. It's a gift, it's a command, it's a plan. And finally, and maybe most importantly, Sabbath's a person. Sabbath is a person to love. There's a good motivation to not blow it off. Therefore, Colossians 2:16 says, don't let anyone judge you in regard to food or drink, the matter of festival or new moon or Sabbath day. You know, again, he was criticized about all these things, doing it wrong. Don't get stuck there. These are a shadow of what was to come. The substance of Sabbath is Christ. So ultimately, your Sabbath rest and mine will come not just in a great plan or a clear command, and not just as a gift, not just as a time hack to manage the fall better than you did the summer, but actually is connected to Jesus. That Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath, is actually the fulfillment of the Sabbath, which doesn't mean we stop stopping. It just means that we cease striving and trying to control the world. That we let, for example, stop trying to work our way into heaven and say, My soul is on death row, but only Jesus can save it, right? That he took my place for my sin so that I could be set free. The ultimate Sabbath fulfillment's in heaven and eternity. However, he also expects us to obey and enjoy it now as well. As we signal to others that we're not as anxious about things as the rest of the world. We have the opportunity this fall, regardless of who is the next president of the United States, we have an opportunity as believers to show that we trust Jesus to be in charge no matter who wins or loses an election. That this ultimate Sabbath rest relies on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And so when we talk about Sabbath rest, we're not just talking about a day, but Hebrews 4:9 says a Sabbath rest remains for God's people. Yes, Jonathan Vest saved my life 15 years ago, but Jesus Christ saved my soul 40 years ago. And if you've come in here today and you go, okay, I'm busy, I'm barren, I'm broken, I need this, I need this, I need this. But ultimately, you don't have Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, then all you'll do is just create more margin. Ultimately, rest and peace comes from someone. And God sent you in here today or online to hear this message and know that He loves you, He cares for you, and He wants you to succeed. And I want to close this message with our eyes closed. And I wanted you to hear directly from Jesus today. I'm going to read Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, where He is personally speaking to us, personally inviting us to rest in Him. So shut out the distractions and listen to Jesus. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I want to say that again. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn from me, because I'm lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Friend, if you're not sure that your soul has found rest, would you right now ask Him to save you from yourself, from your sin, from death? Would you take His gift of salvation that He paid for in the cross and resurrection? Let Him love you as you were created to love. Let Him deliver you from slavery. There will be pastors, ministers, men and women all across the front of this stage in just moments as we stand to sing that will be here to receive you and to talk to you about this important decision to follow Christ. Maybe you just needed a reset, a refresh on your life, somebody to grab your collar, and you need somebody to pray with. We have staff and spouses here to pray with you. Maybe you need a church home. I can testify this place is sacred. It's loved us, and it will love the people here will love you as much as you'll let them. But it might start with a formal commitment. Say, I'm going to stop looking around. I'm going to plant my roots here at this church. God's led us here. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for Sabbath, for being the ultimate fulfillment of Sabbath. Thank you for the plan and the gift and the command. Thank you for being the person who loves us so much that He died to set us free. We give you glory for anything that happens today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.